Our gospel lesson from Mark today is Mark 1, verse 21 to 28. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. They kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, be with us in this time and place, we pray. Open our hearts and minds. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I know I've mentioned this before, and many of you have met some of these people, but I have a slightly crazy family. But it's helped us get through tough times. We have crazy nicknames, slogans, limericks, and we spell lots of words backwards. Do not start with Tulsa. The name may be Williams, but we have a picture of the Brady Bunch in my parents' home with our faces cut out and pasted all over theirs. And on every occasion, everybody gets a serious card and a funny card, and there's some really good ones that I've given to my little baby brother. One of his birthday cards said, "You know how everyone has someone in their family who is shockingly normal?" And you open it and it says, "We've got to get one of those." Happy birthday. He sent me one several years ago that's still in my office, and on the outside it says, "Every time I feel like nobody understands me, it helps me to just think of you." And inside it says, "Because nobody understands you either." Everyone has a slightly crazy family. Am I right? Don't we all have some truly crazy relatives? I have this crazy aunt who's a wonderful artist, but scary at parties because you do not know what she is going to say or do. Who are the crazy people in your family? Got any? Sure you do. You're thinking of them right now. We all know crazy people. Without fail, every family has them. Those people who just show up right when you thought things were going right, and suddenly you don't know what hit you. Well, it's the very same thing in churches. Every church. Everywhere. No matter what size, shape, or denomination, things can be sailing along just fine. In a worship meeting, or in a committee meeting, or in a program, and out of the blue, someone just shows up with some wild hair, some off-the-wall remark, some truly bizarre idea. The mantra for families and churches should be expect the unexpected. Because churches have crazy people. And right now, are you thinking of some of them? I could tell all kinds of stories of interesting encounters as a pastor with crazy people. Because they show up when you least expect it, just like this man with the unclean spirit showed up at the temple that day, crying out to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" I think churches, well, we attract crazy people because we're the church. We welcome everyone, and that's not bad. For one thing, it means that we get to show up. But seriously, welcoming crazy people is part of the gospel. Look at Jesus' own ministry. It's the demon-possessed who first know who Jesus is. The demon-possessed. In the Gospel of Mark, the demons always know who Jesus is, even when his own followers do not know who he is or what he's doing. This man is possessed, and the evil spirit knows that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus does a lot with the demon-possessed. Of the 13 healings in the Gospel of Mark, 4 of them involve Jesus casting out demons. Why? Why is it important for Jesus to cast out demons? What if it has to do with the kind of power that Jesus has? The power of Jesus is different than all the other religious leaders. The gospel says they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. What does it mean that Jesus has the power to cast out demons? What does it mean that his authority was not like theirs? Let's think about what healing means to this man with an unclean spirit. You know, casting out this man's demon, it meant bringing him wholeness. Casting out an unclean spirit meant making him clean again, where he could be in relationship with his family, his community, his place of worship. Jesus' power and authority to restore this man all comes from love. The scribes and the Pharisees, they're all concerned about God's law, but not always as concerned about God's love. When Jesus healed people, he was using God's love. So what did it mean for someone to have a demon, an unclean spirit? Not everyone agrees on what demon possession in the Bible really is. Some people say we're dealing with the first century equivalent of mental illness. Some say it's just the realm of the demonic, of Satan. Other people don't even know what it is. Well, I can't say for sure what was happening with this man, but I do believe there are demons in the world. There is a devil. The Bible calls him wisely the adversary. And I think the spiritual realm of human life is so real and so important. And I may not understand it all, but I know it exists. And I think that just when we're trying to follow Jesus, just when we're listening and following God, when things seem to be going well, that's exactly the time when you get hit hard by all that is not well. That can be the very time that evil comes knocking at your door. In my Streams in the Desert devotional last week, the author spoke about how just when we receive something worthwhile from God, that is just the time the devil comes seeking to destroy us. Just like when King David, when he was anointed king, it was right then that the Philistines set out in full force against him. The good news is that power is developed through resistance. When we come up against evil in the world, it develops our spiritual muscles. Has that ever been true in your life? I know it has in mine. I don't like that truth of Christian life, but experiencing it has made me a stronger person, and I think the same is true in our church. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus' ministry begins with his baptism and God calling him the Beloved, and right after that, he's led out into the wilderness for 40 days of tempting and testing by Satan. Talk about developing your spiritual muscles. That was his preparation for public ministry. And here in Capernaum, he puts that power and authority to the test. Look what happens. You know, I've always liked what theologian C.S. Lewis says about the demonic. He says, we shouldn't ignore that there are demons. We shouldn't say that they don't exist, but we also should not give them too much attention. That's exactly what they would want. His little book called The Screwtape Letters, I know some of you have read it because we studied it here several years ago. It's this humorous and serious look at this often ignored part of Christian life. The book is all letters from Satan to a junior demon on how to attack Christians. It sounds crazy, but it's actually a great book, and I think you would really enjoy reading it. It's so true to our life of faith. When it comes to understanding the spiritual realm and people possessed by demons, I also think that demons can be more than just little guys in red suits running around your life. I think we can be possessed by all kinds of demons. Have you ever felt like you had one on your back? Something that just weighed you down? Something that was holding you hostage? Something that felt like it was just binding you up? Whatever was wrong with this man in the Gospel of Mark, we know that he was deemed crazy by everyone around him. He was unclean, unfit for life in the community, especially for worship. So he was this outsider. He was marginalized. He was ostracized and demonized by those who saw him, much like today we might do for severely mentally ill homeless people out on the street. But it was this man with the unclean spirit who knew Jesus' identity. Like I said, sometimes the disciples don't even know who Jesus is or what he's doing, but the demons do. Now, it's easy for us today to get upset by crazy people and situations. That's our usual response. I mean, how did that person get in here? Why are we letting him say anything in this meeting? Where did that crazy comment come from? Sometimes we just try to ignore them. But sometimes the crazies are the loudest voices, so it can be tempting to do the opposite. It can be tempting to give in to their voices, their agenda. We can start listening to the angry voices, the ones that want to disrupt and wreak havoc. And sometimes that's the path of least resistance. We think, okay, they're crazy, but I guess since you're so loud, you can have it your way. But look at what Jesus does. He doesn't do either of those things. Jesus doesn't ignore this guy, which sometimes we're tempted to do, right? He doesn't ignore him, but he also doesn't give in to him and this crazy stuff he's saying. Instead, he speaks truth and freedom. He says, "Be silent and come out of him." In other words, Jesus delivers the possessed man. What does that mean practically? Well, it means that he's no longer unclean. He's no longer an outsider. He basically has a whole new life. The unclean spirit convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice came out, and all were amazed and kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him, and talk about getting famous. Jesus spoke truth and freedom, deliverance, restoration to relationship and community and wholeness. That's power. That's the kind of power that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has. Isn't that the same power we want in our lives today? Freedom, deliverance, the restoration of relationship? I think so. So what does that mean for you? What's holding you hostage? What's making you a little crazy? What's weighing you down? What needs to be cast out of your life? And do we realize that Jesus wants us to bring all of that to him, and he can give freedom and new life, healing and wholeness? What if we just sat with that for a minute? What if we thought about what that means? The demons of your life, that they are nothing compared to the power and authority of Jesus Christ. If that's not good news, I don't know what is. And what if we followed his lead as Christians? What if we worked in our lives and in our church to make everyone feel welcome and restored to relationship? What if we wanted to show everyone the path to truth and freedom? What if we wanted to show everyone the one who could bring you new life? Isn't that what salvation really is? Freedom, forgiveness, new life. And truth be told, aren't we all a little crazy? Aren't we all in need of this truth and freedom, this deliverance by Jesus? All of us. We, who at times call other people crazy, are precisely the people who find ourselves possessed at different times in our own lives, right? Who among us hasn't been possessed by anger before? Maybe you've been possessed by envy, or greed, or jealousy, or revenge, or a grudge. Doesn't each one of us have something holding us hostage that seems to just possess our body and soul, that keeps us from being free and enjoying life the way God wants us to enjoy life? Each of us have been driven crazy, and each of us have been possessed, and Jesus says to the spirits that bind us, be silent and come out. Isn't this why we come to Jesus, even if we don't always realize it and say it? One pastor, Samuel Candler, put it this way. I love this. He says, the healthy church is where each of us can bring our craziness face to face with Jesus. The healthy church is where each of us can bring our madness to the love and holiness of Jesus. Friends, that's good news of the gospel. It's okay to be a little crazy. It means you'll fit right in here at church. And when you come to this place, to this family of faith, you will find lots of friends and neighbors who love you and welcome you, and you will find Jesus waiting for you to give you that freedom, that new life. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Friends, let us stand and affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.